This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Our good friend Dave Richard is on the Mattress Warehouse hotline. He is the fantasy football expert from CBSSports.com. And I would implore all the listeners, if you're reading like a magazine right now or a book, here's what you need to read. Fantasy Football Week 10, starts, sits, sleepers, and busts for every game, penned by our next guest, Dave Richard. Hello, Dave.
What's going on, guys? You down off the Nationals World Series high that you were on?
Still can't believe it happened. Still can't believe it.
Yeah. You know what? I'm a White Sox fan. So when the White Sox won the World Series in 2005, I felt the exact same way. And from like what you're going to find is that randomly within for really the rest of your life, you're just going to think, oh my God, the Nationals won the World Series in 2019. Mm-hmm. It's never going to be taken away from you. You're always going to have it.
Yep,
it's awesome. So enjoy the hell out of it.
Isn't it weird how we take ownership of something we have literally zero to do with? It's so bizarre.
You're channeling something that you have a passion for through this team. And it's kind of why we play fantasy football. Like we have absolutely no control how Dalvin Cook is going to do from week to week. And then when he scores a touchdown, it's like, yeah, he scored for my fantasy team. Well, no, he didn't. He actually scored for his football team. You had nothing to do with it other than you picked the guy and you got lucky that he scored.
Uh-huh.
But we take ownership of this stuff because it means something to us. We're passionate about it.
Right.
And not to get all life philosophical on it, but those are the things that are kind of important for making you feel good. And hopefully that's what fantasy football does, is that it brings you some joy during the year. It can't bring you the same type of joy as winning a World Series, your favorite team winning a World Series, but it's up there, man. It's fun.
Well, it brings me both joy and bitterness.
It can do both, yes.
Because this is one dilemma I'm in. I've told you this before. I'm in a super flex where you can start two quarterbacks. Now, I don't have to start two quarterbacks. I can start a wide receiver, running back, or tight end in that second spot, but you get more points out of the quarterback, obviously. And I picked up Brian Hoyer because Watson's on bye. I got Rivers and Watson usually, but Watson's on bye. So I picked up Hoyer. He's the only potential starter that was available. That's the only guy that's available, right?
That's how it is in those leagues.
That's how it is. But Brissett apparently practiced yesterday, although limited. But now I'm worried that Brissett's going to play. He doesn't have to because they're playing the Dolphins, but I'm worried that he might play, and then I won't be able to play Hoyer. What do you think?
Yeah, you're going to be stuck. You're going to feel like the Astros. You're going to lose. At least in your case, Lurch, it's a super flex, and you can start another player at another position ahead of Hoyer if that happens.
Right.
But it's not like I've got the, you know, would I recommend Ryan Finley of the Bengals?
He's picked up. He's already picked up.
Right, exactly. Like, you can't even get him because somebody already snatched him up. You're probably just going to have to go a week without starting two quarterbacks.
Yeah.
It's probably not going to work out.
I'll probably have to put Tyler Boyd in there for Hoyer.
Well, my condolences.
Exactly. It's a loser is what it is. It's
Dave,
a loser.
I see on CBSSports.com for tonight you're recommending both Phillip Rivers and Mike Williams in the matchup against the Raiders. I don't see Austin Eckler in your starts. Is he a guy? I mean, he's too good for me, at least with the depth that I have, not to start him. What sort of evening do you see in store for him tonight?
So this is the time of year where we see running backs play better on Thursday night than expected. Kenyon Drake is a perfect example of that last week. And although Tevin Coleman really didn't have the type of game that everybody expected when he started against Arizona, he did have a touchdown called back. He might have had another touchdown on a catch. It's all water under the bridge at this point. But running backs, think about it. It's one guy that takes a few days to get better after playing on Sunday. The whole defense, it's 11 guys that have to feel like they're getting better. It's harder for the defense to prepare for a football game 4 days after playing on Sunday, especially when you're a defense as bad as the Oakland Raiders. So I think Melvin Gordon is still the primary ball carrier in that Chargers offense, and I think he's going to be awesome. I've got him ranked sixth at running back this week, way ahead of guys like Nick Chubb, Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram. I think he's going to go off. And I think Austin Eckler can have a good game as well. We saw him get, 90 total yards last week, something like that. I think he could match that this week against the Raiders.
Really quick, Stafford, Goff.
Stafford.
All right. Is Thielen definitely out?
It looks like he won't play at least this week. And the Vikings have a bye in week 12, so you might not get him next week either.
Okay. Thielen. I'm sorry, Kamara. Is he out?
Looks like he's going to play. It looks like he's trending in the right direction. Okay. I'll leave it at that.
All right. So, all right, real quick, A.J. Green, would you play him this week?
No. I don't think he's going to play for the Bengals.
Oh, he's not?
Week.
Okay.
He did not practice on Wednesday, so... Another one you have to keep an eye on, but his situation just stinks. You think about it, he's been playing with Andy Dalton his whole career. Now they change quarterbacks. They're going to start a rookie behind a terrible offensive line. I don't see A.J. Green really coming around at any point.
All right.
800-636-1067 is the number if you have a question for Dave Richard from CBSSports.com, and we know you do. So let's get to them.
All right, let's go to our guy. Hold on, make sure I put him on hold here. Don't want to hang up on him. All right, let's go to our guy, Jacques, Pastor Jacques from Bristow. Hey, Jacques.
Good morning, fellas. How's it going?
What's up? How are you, bud?
Good. Hey, I'm a James Conner owner, and I also have Jalen Samuels, and I'm wondering what the Week 10 move is in a PPR. If Conner plays, do I have to play both those guys to secure the RB points and just put Samuels in the flex, or do I put a guy like Landry or Latavius Murray or Robbie Anderson in the flex and just play one of them?
Well, that's an interesting dilemma because the guys you have other than the Steelers running backs kind of stink. So I don't think that you can feel great about starting Jarvis Landry over Jalen Samuels if James Conner plays. It's probably the right move, though, because how much work is Jalen Samuels realistically going to get? It's a matchup against the Rams. It's going to be a little bit tougher for the Steelers to run the ball this week like they have the past couple of weeks. Obviously, if Conner plays and he practices all week, you're going to feel okay starting him. And if he doesn't, then Jalen Samuels, hopefully he's in line to get, 7-8 catches. You know, he had 13 last week. That was ridiculous. Mm. But a lot of catches this week against L.A. As of now, we don't have Conner ranked. We've got Samuels ranked, and I've got him ahead of Todd Gurley, and that's in non-PPR. So you can imagine just how high I have Samuels in full PPR.
All right. Thank you, Jock. Appreciate it, buddy. Let's go to Steve in Fairfax. Hey, Steve. Going with Dave Richard.
Hey, guys.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Dave, thanks for all your help all year, man. And I just wanted to say that if you can encourage guys who are like 3-6, 2-7 out of it to stay active with their lineups, because nothing worse than being in a league where guys just kind of tank and you're trying to fight for a playoff spot and the guy that's close to you doesn't have a real matchup. So I just wanted to make that statement.
That's a good point.
Yeah, my question is Josh Reynolds or Joe Mixon in the standard league, which one should I start?
I think I would probably lean toward Reynolds, and you hope that he just gets 70 yards. I know it's not a whole lot. He has been good. There's been four times in his career where he's had at least four catches. He's been good for at least 12 PPR points. I think this is an opportunity to get four catches. Remember, no Brandon Cooks for the Rams, so Reynolds should step in and play a lot for them, but there are a lot of mouths to feed in that offense. They've got Kupp. They've got Robert Woods. They've got Gerald Everett at tight end. He's still out there in a few weeks, by the way, if you need a tight end, Gerald Everett, someone to check out. Not an easy matchup for him, but I think he's got a better chance of getting more yards than Joe Mixon does against the Ravens.
All right, let's go to
Whale.
Is it Whale? I know it's not Wale.
Wale? Let's just call him Wale.
Yeah, let's do it.
What's up, buddy?
From Maine.
Yeah, it's Wale, but
Wale. All right, what's up, man?
No problem. Kareem Hunt or Josh Gordon, flex position.
Yeah, Wally, I loved your movie. I think Kareem Hunt is the better guy to go with there because I don't know how much Josh Gordon's going to play. I feel like the fantasy community totally overreacted to Josh Gordon going to Seattle. We're still waiting for him to come back and put up numbers like he did in 2013. Here's a freaking newsflash. It's 2019. It's not going to happen. The Seahawks are going to move forward with Lockett and DK Metcalf as their main wide receivers. Josh Gordon will be their number three. He might not play very much. He just got there. I think Kareem Hunt in this case is the one to go with. And by the way, I think the Browns lean on their run game quite a bit this week against Buffalo. Their run defense has struggled the past couple of weeks. What better way to take pressure off of Baker Mayfield than to run the ball? And Nick Chubb's been doing a good job of that. Kareem Hunt has fresh legs. I think Hunt can get maybe 50 or 60 total yards in his first game with the Browns.
All right, Wally. Best of luck to you, sir. Dave, I hope the listeners are ready for the speed round. No hesitation from the listeners. No small talk is allowed. No trade questions. No dumb questions. No pleasantries. No Bluetooth or speakerphones are allowed. And no questioning Dave's advice.
All right. Let's go to D in DC. D, speed round.
PPR League, 204, Hollywood Brown, Tyrell Williams, Kareem Hunt, Ronald Jones Jr.
Jones and Tyrell.
Let's go to Sam. Sammer? Go, speed round.
10-man, full-point PPR, need three of four. Jalen Samuels, Chris Carson, David Johnson, Melvin Gordon.
You're going to sit Samuels.
Let's go to Rob, D.C.
Half PPR, start three, DJ Moore, Allen Robinson, Odell Beckham, Tyrell Williams.
I would probably sit Odell.
I feel like the speed round is
hesitation.
Sucking.
Well, it's, I feel it's like hesitation it's from the listener.
Yeah, we need the music.
Let's go to Cam. Speed round, go.
Half point PPR, two out of three, Marvin Jones Jr., Odell Beckham,
He said, they're just not ready. Would hang up on him every time.
Yeah,
let's go to Craig and Manassas. Speed round, go.
PPR, Mike Evans or Michael Thomas?
Thomas.
Hold on. You can't start both of them?
I hung up on him, dude. Speed round.
Hold on. How is he not starting Evans and Thomas?
You have to. You have to find a way.
Was that a dumb question? That
he said, I asked him. He said he had Tyreek Hill and his flex was Saquon Barkley.
Show off.
Oh, my God. He's got to find a way or trade one of them.
He's banned for showing off permanently.
Was it a four-man league?
It's a four-man league. Yeah,
it must be.
Let's go to Carlos. Speed round. Go.
MBS, Mike Williams, Marquise Brown, or Christian Kirk?
If you got to start one, it's Mike Williams. If you got to start two, it's Williams and Kirk.
Kirk gets that tasty Tampa Bay matchup.
Yeah, he does.
Rob, speed round. Go.
Half point PPR pick one. Jonnu Smith, Jared Cook, or O.J. Howard?
Cook.
Cookie.
Kyle, speed round, go.
Brissett, Stafford, or Rivers?
Rivers.
Yeah, he likes
Paul,
Rivers
tonight. Speed round, go.
PPR, Deontay Johnson, Auden Tate.
Oh, man, I feel bad for you. Plan on Tate.
He's in the land of the number four wide receivers there, Dave.
And yeah, fantasy might not be so much fun for him. See if you can go get Devontae Parker or Zach Pascal.
Like it.
And let's go to Julio. Speed round, go.
A PPR, Mike Williams or Tyrell Williams?
Mike Williams.
Mike Williams. Oh, I see John DePapa. He's calling in late.
Very
Here we
good.
Go. Got to go to John. Hey, John.
At the buzzer. Hey, Dave Uick. Now that the Nats run over and the Redskins franchise is deader than dead, what should I start in my junkie segment league? Who should I pick up off the waiver wire? The Junkies Weekend Preview or What Did You Eat for Dinner Last Night?
What's a better filler?
Ooh, I think for me, it's what did you have for
dinner?
I think
what did you have for dinner? I think it might have
weekend
to be.
Weekend preview always sucks.
Yeah, because we usually don't do anything.
Yeah.
Turkey.
Yeah.
What'd you say, Rabbi?
Now I want to know what Dave had for dinner.
Dave, what did you have for dinner last night?
Cookie, chicken.
My wife made these unbelievable homemade cheeseburgers on the grill.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Cooked like medium?
That sounds wonderful.
You guys can come over. You come to Florida every year, and you never bother to come down my way.
Where are you?
Aren't you Fort Lauderdale? Is that where you are?
Yeah, Fort Lauderdale. Yeah.
What's the temperature right now?
Burgers.
What's the temperature right now?
I have no idea. I'm, wearing shorts.
Dave,
it'll be 77 today.
Dave, I'm going to propose this to you right now. If we're back in West Palm next year, let's meet up at the Isle Casino and see some flops together. What do you think about that?
Done. I've been waiting for that for like 3 years.
We're doing it. I'm doing it.
Something comes up every time.
I'm gonna ditch the oldsters at the dog track near where we're staying, and I'm gonna drive down to see Dave.
That's such a dump.
Go see Dave.
Yeah. Well, guess what? The oldsters will be waiting for you at the aisle.
That is true. They're all over the place in Florida. Dave, thank you as always. We'll
thank
talk
you,
to you again next week, sir.
Thank you, buddy.
Guys, enjoy not being embarrassed by the Redskins this weekend, and kick butt in your fantasy league.
We will try.
Thank you, pal.
Nice week off. All right.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
If Keenum didn't get hurt, I don't think he would have played.
Well, and if they would have won a few games. The fact, yeah. You know, when you just start losing, then you got to play the kid.
You got to experiment.
No, but Jay acknowledged the perfect plan. Now, again, Jay was conflicted because Jay had to win now. Mm-hmm. But Jay acknowledged his game plan was to redshirt him, which I don't think is a bad idea.
This guy from the 845, not sure what that is. All those clowns who laughed at the Giants drafting Danny Jones over Haskins aren't laughing now. 2021, Haskins will be on someone's practice squad.
Well, again, Daniel Jones is far from a finished product.
We'll see.
He's struggling too.
Yeah.
They all struggle. That's why you got to give him more time. By the way, I'm not suggesting Haskins is a home run or a bust. I have no idea. I'm just suggesting he deserves more than an 8 or 9 game tryout. And the notion that if he struggles after 5 or 6, that you've seen enough to scrap the plan is outrageous. And it's wrong. That's what I'll say. Unless you bring in a new regime and a new coach, that's a different story. They're going to want to bring in their own guys.
Yeah.
That's a different story.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to, I guess Grant's calling in. GP, what's up? GP, are you there?
Mr. Paulson?
I am. What's going on?
What's up, Jeeps?
How are you? So can I say I agree with you 99% of the time on the idea of 7 games not being enough, and I really do feel terrible for Dwayne Haskins.
It's not fair.
But I have 2 things. It's not fair, but I've kind of 2 things that work against this for me that makes this really difficult. I want to bounce off you. Number one is there's not a football person in that building that wanted to draft him at 15. So we're working back from the conclusion that
it's true.
Well, you took him where you took him. You have to give him a chance because he's a top 15 pick. But when the guys that watch the film and make the pick and the coaches watch the film, they go, don't take him at 15.
True.
Dan Snyder, who knows as much about football or me or you, chose him at 15.
No, we know
so he
way
was the
more
wrong
about,
guy.
We know way more about football than Dan Snyder.
Right, it complicates
we have to give ourselves
it.
Credit.
It complicates it. But
my point is to just give him the benefit of the doubt because of where he was drafted. He shouldn't have been drafted there, and everyone in the building said as much.
True, but you can't get by that. I mean, Snyder still owns the team.
I understand, but my point is, that's why they probably will give him next year, but I just think to work back from the conclusion that they have to, I disagree with that. I mean, if this was a good process that you arrived at this pick where everyone was in sync and said, yeah, this
Grant,
is the guy we should take
this.
In the first round.
Here, I would say this. I hear what you're saying, and what you're saying is accurate. We have the same people telling us the same things, right, at the time.
Right.
So I know that that's true. I'd say if he was a second-round pick, it's still not fair to give him 7 games and then chuck him, you know, overboard, personally.
Okay, and that gets me kind of my next point, which was, you know, you brought up a bunch of guys who struggled in their first year, and I've always said this. I think if you make a huge declaration on a guy after 1 year, you have no idea ultimately what they're capable of becoming.
Correct.
However, here's what I would say is he's got to show something in these last 7 games. He has shown zippy. Every rookie quarterback ever in the history of the world who has capabilities of being anything. Troy Aikman when he stunk. Terry Bradshaw when he stunk. You saw big plays. You saw throws. You saw him get through progressions. He has to show that in these last 7 games. If 7 games from now he has not shown any of that, then I don't think we just continue to act like, well, he was taken at 15 and he threw 50 touchdowns at Ohio State. My point is, if he shows something, great. Let's move forward.
Well,
but he has to show something.
Here's what he has, and it's undisputable.
He certainly can't get worse.
Here's what he has, and it's undisputable, and you may not have seen a lot of it yet, but everyone agrees. He's got the arm, right? We know that. He's
correct.
Got the arm strength. He can throw the out patterns, and you've actually seen 1 or 2 of them. You've actually seen, if we were fair, a little bit of elusiveness that we didn't give him credit for coming into the draft, mm-hmm. right? He's a little bit more elusive. I've actually seen him roll out and then not complete the pass because he's not accurate.
He's not Tom Brady.
He's not accurate, yeah. and he's not consistently accurate.
Come
and that,
on a little bit.
That may doom him, but I've seen him.
He's way more athletic than I thought he was going to be. And dating back to the preseason, that's been kind of my biggest either revelation or excitement is play extension and some of those things.
Yes,
but,
which so is those important. Are things he's
but
shown,
the arm
Grant.
Strength, yeah, the, but DB, the arm strength, right? We're saying that's, yeah. his, that's what he hangs his hat on. That's the best tool.
It's one thing.
Most people will tell you is the least important thing for a quarterback.
Don't disagree. I don't disagree. But it's an
he's
asset.
Got zero.
But it's an asset. To say he has nothing, it's not fair. To say
but
he hasn't shown anything.
Let me ask you what somebody
believe
asked me.
Believe me,
I
think he'll probably bust.
Strength.
If you ask me, if you put a gun to my head, I said he'd probably bust the way everything's playing out.
Yeah.
But I don't
and
think
so
it's
my
fair.
My point is if you have Joe Burrow staring you in the face and you think you've got a bust, to say that it should be off the table.
I think it should be off the table.
Do I think they should do it? No. But should they have a rule where no matter what happens, where we pick, no matter who's available, we can't do it because Dan made us draft Dwayne Haskins last year? That's tough for me.
But Grant, here's the question.
Other than arm strength, what would you guys say he
I haven't
has
seen
shown?
Anything. I haven't seen anything.
I just told you, a little bit more elusiveness in the pocket. A little bit more of that. Now he needs to set his protections.
And here's the reason why you didn't
better.
See that in college. He didn't have to run
right.
in college.
All right.
Nobody's
right.
threatening
but let me,
him.
But let me just say this.
He's a better athlete than people gave him credit for.
Grant, you're saying if we've decided he can't do this and we've got Joe Burrow, who's deciding that? Because it's not going to be Haskins or it's not going to be Allen and Snyder who's deciding that. They're going to be behind him. So, and you don't know who the next guy is.
Yeah, I mean, for all we know.
So it doesn't matter who's making the football decisions in the office right now because chances are they're going to be gone.
Snyder and Allen could walk in tomorrow, you know, once the season is done and say, we are not drafting a quarterback. Haskins is our guy. I don't care what you guys see when you grade out Tua, Burrow, whoever else it is. Haskins, we're sticking with him through the next season at least. And it might just be off the table.
And
we don't
let me
know.
Just say this too, Grant. I think the worst thing that could have ever happened to this kid is what's actually happened so far. Is Case went out there and laid an egg, Jay got fired, and they forced him into the fire when he wasn't ready. And I don't care where he was drafted. Everybody's got a different curve. Everyone's different. I think he's been forced into the fire too early, and so I think it's unfair. And so that's part of my whole deal
but
here,
that
too.
Is, but that's part of the business.
It's part
too.
Of the business, but I actually agreed with the redshirting year. Let him learn. Let him get the reps. Let him study the playbook.
Look,
let him work on his footwork.
What did he say after he got drafted? The league screwed up or whatever
yeah.
he did. Done messed yeah. up, whatever mm-hmm. he tweeted.
Yeah.
You saw the body language. Or he felt like he was ready.
All right.
But he clearly isn't.
But other people knew that saw him. I don't think they're wrong. I don't think Jay was wrong.
I don't think Jay was wrong either.
These guys see him. I'm not suggesting he's ready. I don't think he is.
But
I think the worst thing that could have happened to him is actually playing right now.
But here's my point. The guys who don't think he's ready, it doesn't matter what they think. Because the guys who drafted
right.
him think he can get there.
Those guys don't have power.
I agree with you. But there's an undercurrent of people, and I think Grant might be one of them, that is suggesting that if he does bomb out here in the next five or six games, that we're ready to scrap him. And I just don't think it's fair to the kid, and I think he deserves at least a second year because players do bounce back. There weren't a ton of people. Listen, there were a ton of guys that thought Troy Aikman sucked and Steve Walsh should have been the quarterback.
Well, this is what I'll say, and Grant, I don't know if you agree with this, but whatever they do in the offseason, I don't think it's Keenum. They better get a quality backup. Because if Dwayne Haskins,
I agree with that. Yeah.
If he's not ready for week one, if he doesn't have a good summer and a good camp, and he's not ready, clearly, then they got to have plan B, and it can't be Colt McCoy.
No. Well, that's
so
not good.
If you guys like would pull the audio, no one should do this, but I'm just saying, if you go back, I've said for years what EB is saying, which is you cannot evaluate a guy in 1 year, not to mention it's a terrible situation. I think he's essentially been doomed
yes,
from the beginning.
I agree.
But my opinion is based on a lot of people, some still in that building, who say this is not it.
Yeah.
This will not work. This guy is not the guy. And that's not me watching him against the Giants throw three picks and making that decision. That's kind of confirming what I'm hearing, you know, on the phone a lot. But my point is, when you have people who see him all the time, on the field, off the field, and say, this is not it. You could either kind of dismiss it and say, well, you know, people are in trouble for their jobs and they're upset.
Grant's breaking up. Put him on hold. Here's what I'd say. I hear you. I know there are football people in the building that are shaking their heads and going, this is not the guy. Even if he was overdrafted, which I believe he was.
Yeah.
He deserves more reps and more looks, whether you like it or not. He deserves the opportunity to fight through it.
But I would agree with the caller a few callers ago from Richmond. If he goes 0-4 to start the year next year, and he looks just as bad as he does now,
you can start moving around and see what you got to do.
Okay.
I don't know, 0-4, maybe 0-6. But yeah, I mean, yeah.
We now go to the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. We welcome in longtime friend of the show, Neil Greenberg, Washington Post columnist and stats specialist. Good morning, Neil. Hello.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
We are doing well. We are perusing some of your latest work in the Post. The headline is, Anthony Rendon is about to get paid, but how much is he worth? Could he have had a better walk year than he had heading into free agency? I mean, he just killed it, not only in the regular season, but throughout the playoff run. His value is at an all-time high. It has to be.
Yeah, like you said, career year. You can argue he was also a World Series MVP. And he's coming to the marketplace at a position that has very little depth, both in baseball, but also especially in this free agent market. I think that you're going to have to back up the Brinks truck. I mean, you know, you look at the projections, he's the most valuable free agent, regardless of position, coming out this year on the market. And I think it's going to take a serious offer. And by that, I mean, there were some reports that the Nationals offered him between $210 and $215 million over 7 years in September. Mm. That included some deferred payments, which automatically lower the value of the contract. I don't think that's going to get it done. Based on what I have here, he's probably worth closer to $250 million over 7 years without any deferred money. So it'll be interesting to see what happens and how not only the Nationals pursue him, but also the other teams at large. Because, you know, players like him, like you said, in this type of circumstance, don't come around often. And, you know, he could be a key piece to any team going forward.
Who are the two or three most likely suitors besides the Washington Nationals? Who's going to be really heavy after him?
I think Texas needs a third baseman. I'm not really sure who else might throw some money at him, but there was some talk maybe the Dodgers might be interested. You know, I think if the Dodgers are involved, then that could be something interesting. From what I understand, they may have offered $200 million over 5 years. Maybe the Yankees. There's a lot of talk about who's going to be interested. And I think, you know, it depends on what you're talking about. If you ask what teams are interested, obviously there's going to be a lot more teams that are interested. Who might actually extend an offer to him, I think, is a much smaller pool of clubs.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
And they can't afford to lose him, the Nationals can, in my opinion.
Yeah, but if it comes down to Rendon and Strauss, where are you going to throw your money?
Well, I think you have to throw it at Rendon only because you got Corbin as kind of a buffer in case Strasburg does leave. You know, it gives you two top of the rotation pitchers in Strasburg and Corbin. And there's some decent pitching on the market that if you really needed a third starter, you can probably find one. But you know, the drop off from Strasburg at 31 years old to another pitcher versus Rendon, who's coming into this prime at third base, is much different. Who would they get to replace Rendon at third base?
Unless they think Carter Kieboom is their guy.
I think that's what they think.
Is he an NL MVP finalist? Because that's what Rendon
was.
I mean,
No. I think it's a huge leap, and I think it's. I wouldn't.
But you got to see. You got to see what you got in the farm,
right?
Don't
sure,
you think?
You do. Absolutely.
Unless they can bridge it with, you know, Josh Donaldson for 2 years until they.
That's another thing, right? He's the only other, I hate to use the word viable third baseman, but he's the only other third baseman that gives you the same type of clout. He's 34 years old. He'll be 34 years old. So obviously you're not going to extend to him a contract like you would Anthony Rendon. But, you know, it's an interesting situation for this team. You know, I don't know how many teams could survive the loss of Harper and Rendon in back-to-back years. I know they have Harper. I know that they have, some of the other young guys. But, you know, I don't know how much of that you know, how much can Soto do? How much better can Soto get, right? How much more of a load can Soto carry? I mean, he's not going to bat 400 with 60 home runs to help, you know, ease the loss of Rendon. I think that, you know, he's kind of near the ceiling. It's an amazing ceiling. I'm not taking anything away from it. But, you know, to ask him to improve even more based on the last 2 years, I think would be a tough challenge.
Well, they've got some decisions, obviously, there at third base if they lose Rendon, who to replace him with. Strasburg, huge decision. What are they going to do at second base? I mean, Carter Kieboom, I would think, is going to be in play either at second or third if they do lose Rendon. And then at first base, I know they're talking about possibly, you know, doing a little platoon thing with Zim, and then if it's Kendrick, if he's back, and then, or someone else. But they have to certainly address that going forward, first base. And then the bullpen. I think they need at least two guys.
Yeah.
At least two, if not more, maybe four guys. So they've got, and then a catcher. I mean, they're going to bring back both Gomes and Suzuki. They were pretty good, but they've got four or five legitimate questions, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of unknown circling this team, and you know, I also think winning the World Series helps players move on. I think it's a way to kind of close the chapter on this part of their lives and, you know, move on to a place that maybe they'd rather play with, right? They don't necessarily have to just chase the money, right? I mean, you win a World Series, you always have that. It wouldn't surprise me to see Rendon take a look at a team based in Texas where he's from. Wouldn't surprise me to see Strasburg take a big interest in San Diego where he's from. You know, and I just think, just my own personal experience and just what I, you know, my own personal anecdote, that it would be easier to make that move coming off a championship season.
Yeah, it's interesting, though, because I've just assumed, and I think it's fair to say, the conventional wisdom is you're going to lose Rendon, but Strauss has shown an inclination to want to be here, that he moved his family here, he sold his home in San Diego, that he would stay. But you actually pose a scenario that I haven't considered, which would be the opposite, which would be that Strauss maybe is blown away by a bigger offer, and Rendon, ultimately, the team decides they'd rather keep him. That's not a scenario I've actually considered, that Strauss goes and Rendon stays. Maybe that happens.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like I said, I think Corbin, the addition of Corbin, was kind of the first step in that, in case that did happen. Mm-hmm. You know, having two aces at the front of your rotation is pretty good, right? Having three like they had was a luxury, and obviously it was a World Series winning formula. I guess the question is, does Strasburg think he can get more than 4 years, $100 million on the free agent market? And if so, do the Nationals pay it, right? I mean, and I guess it also depends on how quickly Rendon makes a decision, because if they feel like they've missed out on Rendon, then maybe they make more of a push to have Strasburg stay. It's an interesting
dynamic. There's a lot going on. Lavero brought up a great point the other day when I heard him on with Chad that, I believe a big reason why they didn't re-sign Jordan Zimmermann was because they believe in the shelf life of guys that have had Tommy John surgeries, right? And so it's been quite a while since Stevens had his, and so that may factor in. But the other part of that to counter it is they've always had an inclination to spend on pitchers more than they have on position players. So there's a lot of dynamics going into this whole thing.
Yeah, and I think they're comfortable with their with their young guys, and rightly so, right? I mean, we saw what Soto did, you know, Victor Robles. So there's definitely some upside there. And we also saw how good, how important pitching was. You look at the teams that were in the World Series or got close, you know, they had some strong pitching.
Joined by Neil Greenberg, Washington Post columnist and stats specialist. Let's pivot over to the Caps for a minute here and the Metropolitan Division. Caps are atop that right now with 25 points. Weren't a lot of pundits coming into the season saying, look out for the New Jersey Devils? And I know it's a month in, but they're at the bottom of the Metro with just 12 points. And that's after winning their last two games. And the Islanders, and they've won 10 straight. What Barry Trotz is doing there on the Islands, pretty remarkable. Handicap the Metro after a month or so.
Yeah, I think New Jersey, because they got some young talent, was, everyone thought that they'd be a lot more competitive. Obviously, PK Subban's there as well. But you know, again, I mean, you need time to gel. You need time to get that type of experience. You know, Washington, I think, was always a team at the top of the list there. But you know, like you said with the Islanders, I think we're seeing just how good of a coach Barry Trotz is. I mean, he always had the Nashville Predators in contention. He came to Washington, won the Cup. And then he was supposed to be in a rebuild situation with the Islanders, but that never really happened. And, you know, you look at what he's done, especially in light of John Tavares leaving. You know, he got this team exactly, you know, where he wants them. And, you know, like you said, they have 22 points in 14 games. They're crushing it in the Metro. I think Washington and the Islanders are the teams to beat right now. I think Pittsburgh, though, has looked really good despite their injuries. And, you know, Carolina does a lot of good things on the ice that translate to success. But I think the Islanders, to consider them like a flash in the pan, I think that ship has sailed. I think that they are a legitimate contender with Josh Bailey and Barzal. Obviously, they have Brock Nelson, Anders Lee. I think Barry Trotz is doing, you know, wonders, especially with the young goaltenders. I mean, you know, a .933 save percentage between two guys that give you a quality start, you know, two-thirds of the time, three-fourths of the time, is a formula to win no matter what team you're on.
Neil, thanks as always for the time. We'll talk to you again soon. That's Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post. Give him a follow on Twitter, @NGreenberg.
All right, see you later, guys.
Yep. Thank you, Neil.
We appreciate it, buddy.
Appreciate the time. When we come back, we're going to give you, yes, you, the Donk listeners, a chance to win a pair of tickets to go see Bert Kreischer at DAR Constitution Hall. Don't call now.
And don't say DAR.
Don't say DAR Constitution Hall. Don't say DAR.
Isn't that what JP said?
No, he said DAR. I remember it like it was yesterday. JP called it DAR Constitutional Hall. He just added a few letters on the end.
He just botched everything.
But you know what? Sometimes that happens. Everybody makes mistakes. Sometimes that happens.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.